So this morning's discussion is on trending issues in negotiating indemnification provisions. The format we would like to follow here is to first outline an issue and then have an open dialogue about that issue, then move to the next issue. We're hoping to hit five or six issues. We've got a list of topics that we want to try and address. The materials, the printed materials, are mostly there for your reference. We'd like to try and follow an open discussion format after each topic has been introduced and outlined. And I want to leave time at the end for questions. So I'm going to try and leave 5 minutes at the end for questions. Although I've been on multiple panels, at least with Jessica. I know Jessica and I can easily go for more than an hour, but I will try and cut us off at that point. We have more topics that I think we'll have time. We've tried to narrow them down to topics that we think are most topical at the moment. And hopefully you'll agree and you'll get something out of it. With that, we're going to start with the topic that was actually addressed a little bit yesterday at another panel.
That's how hot the topic is.
We're going to talk about rep and warranty insurance. And Jessica is going to give us an outline of what it is, try and create some context for the audience, and then we'll start a discussion about it.
Yeah, I just want to kind of give a little bit of overview of kind of where we're at, where we've been, and then maybe we can discuss a bit about where we think things are headed. Thanks to the first slide. I think most folks know the typical coverage of rep and warranty insurance is to cover the breaches of the seller's reps in your definitive agreement. And there's benefits to that. Speed, efficiency, of course, being tempered by the process itself of getting the insurance placed. But if it's done properly, that can be done in 2 to 5 weeks.